Time to meet the men from the ministry. You're invited once again to jump aboard the bureaucratic bandwagon with Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, Garrard Green, John Graham, and the men from the ministry, Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Our story this week begins not in the hurly-burly of the General Assistance Department, but in more elegant areas of government. Lord Stilton is one of that magic circle who can truly be said to be ruining the country. Who can truly be said to be running the country. He's sitting in his vast office awaiting a visitor.
Sir Gregory Pitkin, sir.
Come in, Pitkin. Sit down, my dear fellow.
Ah, oh, thank you, sir. Splendid office you have here. I do like your mink carpet.
Oh, good, good. We're always on the lookout for new ways of spending public money, you know. But I suppose you're wondering why I sent for you.
Well, if it's an earldom or some other recognition of my achievements, then I can only say thank you, Lord Stilton. Of course, I've never asked for promotion,
Very wise, saves disappointment.
Oh.
As you know, there's to be a big international conference in Paris next week.
Ah, yes, something to do with space, isn't it?
Correct. The United Nations is anxious to avoid future squabbles over possession of the various planets.
Quite right. Keep the fighting on our own planet, where it belongs.
Well, man will soon reach Venus. So, next week's conference will allot areas of that planet to all countries who are anxious to bid.
Ah, then we must get all we can, eh?
No. Quite the reverse. Oh. We don't want any part of it. The expense, you see. We can hardly afford to send trains to Birmingham, never mind spaceships to Venus.
Right. Well, that's what I meant. We shan't be putting in a bid.
Well, of course we'll be putting in a bid. Yeah. Dear me. We can't lose face by admitting we don't want it. Our delegates will bid for every section of that planet.
But what happens if we get some?
Disaster. Apart from the expense, we'd have to sit through another of those TV space shots.
Then what's the answer, sir?
The answer, Pitkin, is to send to this conference two delegates who are so totally incompetent that although they're seen to be doing their best, they're absolutely guaranteed to fail.
Yes.
The problem is, where can we find two men who are really and utterly hopeless?
No problem there, sir.
Oh?
I have two men in my department who were born to do this.
Indeed? Well, who are they?
Lennox Brown and Lamb. Two of my worst men. Lennox Brown started at the top and has worked his way downwards ever since. Lamb, on the other hand, has risen without trace.
What are their credentials?
Last week, they were responsible for torpedoing the Prime Minister's yacht, also for having Nelson's column sprayed with plum jam. And that was only the Monday. On Tuesday...
Oh, splendid, Pitkin, splendid. You've said enough. They're clearly ideal for the job. They must represent us at the conference.
They'll return empty-handed, I promise. Everything they touch turns to dust.
And so we nip down the corridors of power, down, right down, to the General Assistance Department. Here Lennox Brown and Lamb, with the help of Secretary Mildred, are discussing the financial crisis.
It isn't fair when most people have a little money left at the end of the month. I always have a lot of months left at the end of the money.
Look, old chap, if you're temporarily embarrassed, I'll bend the rules a little. You can take a short-term loan from the petty cash box.
I've looked in there, one. There's nothing but two foreign coins, four of your IOUs, and a badge saying, "Freak out, fellows, it's Friday."
Why don't you put in for a rise, Mr. Lamb?
I can't. I'm only grade M, and we're not due for a rise till 1980.
It's a blooming shame. It's exploitation of the workers, that's what it is.
I must say, it's not much of a salary. I mean, £8 goes nowhere these days. Often it's all spent at the end of the first week.
Well, we can't have you going without lunch. You can share my prune yoghurt, Mr.
Lamb. Oh, Mildred, that is kind of you.
Well, we've got to help each other, haven't we?
Quite right, Mildred. Well done, yes. Right, well, I'm off to my club now. Take an early lunch.
Huh?
Yes, give me more time for my brandy and cigars.
Yeah, you're taking a bit of a chance, aren't you, sir, going off early as this? What's the Gregory after he sees you.
Well, what if he does? Great loudmouthed bully doesn't frighten me.
Ah, Lennox Brown. Off early for lunch.
No, Sir Bully. Mr. Gregory. No, I never go as soon as this, sir.
Oh, why not? I think you should. Take a long lunch break. What about you, Lamb? Why don't you go off and have a leisurely lunch, too?
I can't afford lunch this week, Sir Gregory.
Oh, dear me, dear me. We'll have to see about that. Can't have my top executives in financial straits. You're impecunious, eh?
No, I'm all right in myself. It's just that I haven't any money.
Can we help you, Sir Gregory?
Yes, I have an important job for you both.
Oh, yes?
You're to go to Paris next week to represent Britain at the International Space Conference.
I'm sorry, Sir Gregory, for a moment. It sounded as if you said we were to represent Britain at a conference.
That's exactly what I did say. You've been selected for... Well, how shall I put it? Your special personal qualifications.
You could knock me down with a feather.
That's one of them, yes. It should relieve your cash problem, Lamb. There'll be plenty of money for expenses.
Oh, how absolutely splendid.
And you did say Paris, Sir Gregory?
I did.
Yes, my word. It's the best time to go there, too.
Well, the best time to go is when you're young. But it'll still have something to offer you.
What exactly are we to do at the conference, Sir Gregory?
Well, you're to put forward reasons why Britain should be allotted parts of the planet Venus when man lands there. I'm sure you'll think of something. The main thing is to handle this with your usual tact and expertise.
Yes, yes.
Just like the 101 other jobs you've covered in the last few years.
Yes, well, now you leave it to us, Sir Gregory.
That's exactly what I am doing, Lennox
yes,
Brown.
That's right.
All the details are in this file.
Yes.
Will there be much paperwork, Sir Gregory?
Well, there's bound to be a certain amount, yes.
I was wondering if we could take Miss Mervyn. We've always worked as a team.
Do you speak French, Miss Mervyn?
No, sir.
Do you know Paris at all?
No, sir.
Good, then take her by all means.
Oh, I've never been overseas before. Well, apart from the Isle of Wight.
Mildred, the Isle of Wight is not overseas.
Well, you try walking there.
I say this will be fun. Will I be making a speech, Sir Gregory?
Certainly, Lamb. That's an essential part of our plan. Oh, we want you to stand up at the conference and say the first thing that comes into your head.
Now, is that wise, Sir Gregory? You see, my colleague has no experience of diplomacy, you know. He quite upset those visitors from Paris last year. Kept calling them parasites.
Dear, well, they just didn't appreciate our English sense of fun.
No.
Well, I mustn't hold you up. You'll have a great deal to do before next week.
Yes,
now, remember, we want you to be yourselves at the conference.
Oh, you can
just speak and act naturally,
as
you always do.
Yes, indeed.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Me mum and dad went to France once. Day trip to Boulogne.
Did they enjoy it, Mildred?
Oh, yeah. But dad drank so much on the boat, mum had to pay duty on him to get him back in the country.
Still can't understand why Sir Gregory chose us.
He obviously feels we have something special, something the others haven't got.
Oh, well, that's true, of course. I mean, but it was odd to see him smiling, wasn't it? You know, I mean, he hasn't smiled like that since you trapped your hand in the franking machine.
Well, I feel it's a great honour. Just think, the sort of things we've been doing for Britain, we'll now be doing for the world.
A week later, our heroes are almost ready to leave. In the office, Richard Lamb is making a last-minute check. Has he packed all the essentials?
I think I've got everything. Mosquito nets, quinine, sterile water, packet of tea. One thing that worries me, man, how are we going to manage with the language?
Oh, gracious me, we'll be all right, too. Most of these French chaps speak English. At least the better sort do.
Yeah, yes.
But just to be on the safe side, of course, I'm taking this phrase book, you see.
Oh, may I see it?
Yes, do. Have a look at that.
Simple French phrases for all the things you need.
Yes.
In the hotel.
Uh-huh.
I asked for a room overlooking the public park, the ornamental gardens, the riverbank, the statue of Queen Victoria.
Must have proper quarters.
You have given me a room overlooking the refuse dump, the railway sheds, the knacker's yard, the cemetery, the prison, the septic tank.
No idea of town planning these people, you know.
My mum's a bit worried about my going to Paris. My auntie Glad had an experience there.
Did she?
This Frenchman came up behind and pinched her in the Tuileries.
I expect he was one of those free Frenchmen. Sorry.
Now, don't you worry, Mildred. Stay close to me and you'll be all right.
Yes. What about our geranium? Will it be all right while we're away?
Yes, sir. My boyfriend Bernard's going to come in and water it every day.
Is he? Well, I hope he doesn't watch it the way he did last time. Standing on the desk and sloshing it from the fire buckets. And, Mildred, what about urgent and important phone calls?
Oh, that's all right, sir. I told your bookie you're away.
Good. Well, as we don't leave for the airport for another hour, we may as well spend the time usefully.
Righty-ho, sir.
A strong cup for me with seven lumps. And Mr. Lamb's weak and milky as usual.
The supping of beverages during office hours is not, of course, confined to the General Assistance Department.
Can I pour you another cup, Pitkin?
Oh, I'm not sure that I should, but, well, it's such a good brandy. Perhaps I will.
You know, I always feel keeping it in the teapot gives it an extra bouquet. It looks better, too, if junior staff come in.
Yes, right. But I came up to tell you, Lord Stilton, that my two chaps have arrived in Paris. I just heard.
Oh, good, good.
I'm absolutely confident, sir, they'll get through the whole week without putting a foot right.
I hope so.
Well, according to my information, they're running true to form. At London Airport, they got caught up in the luggage chute. Lamb ended up with second-class baggage stamped on the seat of his trousers.
Splendid, splendid.
And after that, they were found in an aircraft about to take off for Brazil. And as Lennox Brown had jammed the catch of his safety belt, the whole seat had to be removed, with him in it, and placed on the Paris plane.
Oh, capital, capital. It seems you've made a shrewd choice, Pitkin. It's absolutely vital the conference shouldn't award Britain any part of the planet Venus.
Rest assured, Lord Stilton, my two chaps won't even be awarded a key to the men's washroom. Come to think of it, they'll look even worse than usual. All the other countries will have sent their best brains. They want to succeed.
Well, that's what Sir Gregory thinks. But in Washington...
What I don't understand, sir, is why you nominated Hiram J. Searsucker to represent us at the Paris Conference. He always struck me as a no-good bum.
I am cognizant of that fact, Senator. I chose Searsucker because he is a bum.
We have just one seat at this conference and you put a bum in it?
Sure, we don't want a part of Venus. We can't afford it, but we can't admit that.
You mean you sent Searsucker because you hope he'll fail?
I sent Searsucker because I know he'll fail.
And in the Kremlin, 28A, Red Square, Moscow.
Who have you sent to represent our great country in Paris, comrade?
Hold on to your balalaika, Igor. I have sent comrade Nikarsov.
You sent Nikarsov? That Muchik? That fool who thought a Soviet was a table napkin? That idiot who told Mr. Brezhnev he was a red square?
That is him. The man who tried to form the Moscow Young Conservatives Club.
But if you've sent him to Paris, you'll be sent to Siberia. Or worse, to our embassy in Kensington.
No, Igor, we don't want a part of Venus. We can't afford it. So he is the perfect representative. Have another vodka.
Finally, let's see what's happening in China by peeking behind the scenes.
Hello, Mr. Wong speaking.
Ah, I'm glad to know I have Wong number. With regard to Paris conference, you have sent who?
Yes, I have done so.
Pardon?
I have sent who to Paris? Honorable Mr. Who?
You sent who? But he is our biggest cretin. Knows nothing about space. He thinks moon made of cheese and Mars made of chocolate.
We do not want planet Venus. Better save our honorable Chinese money. More flight life for honorable Chinese people.
Thus, there assembles in Paris a collection of idiots unparalleled since... well, since the last international conference. Can our heroes outstupid the competition? They've arrived in their Paris hotel and are settling down like the experienced travelers they are.
I'm going to complain to the manager. They've given me that tiny little bedroom over there with a bed like a wooden bench.
Oh, don't be daft, too. That's not your bedroom. That's the lift.
Oh. I wondered why people kept coming in and out while I was changing.
Oh, here. Don't we have to alter our watches now we're on the continent.
Alter our watches? Whatever for?
Well, it's your continental time, isn't it? Mm. I mean, we have to put our watches backwards or forwards or something, don't we?
Oh, some people do. I've never believed in falling in with these funny foreign habits. No, my watch will remain the same, and I suggest you both do likewise.
Quite right, ma'am.
Yes.
Well, here we are, all set for a splendid week in Paris. I am looking forward to it. French food, that lovely squidgy cheese with the soft skin. What's it called? And the nightclubs with all those gorgeous showgirls.
Come on, Bear.
Yes, I believe they do. The elegant strollers on the Champs-Élysées. Oh, I'm told it's almost as lovely as Oxford Street.
Oh, I wish that waiter was hurry up and take our orders. I'm starving.
Well, he's giving us time to study the menu, I dare say.
Well, he needn't bother. I'm going to have some proper food, none of this French stuff. Wonder if they've got beans on toast with chips.
Oh. Mildred, please, let us try to be a little more sophisticated. I mean, take advantage of the French cuisine while we have the opportunity. Will you be having frog's legs, too?
Oh, no, thanks. I had frog's legs once, and for days I felt terribly jumpy.
Yes, well, let's have some of these other continental specialities.
Do you understand all that French on the menu, sir?
Of course, Mildred, yes. I'm rather a gourmet, you know. Oh, my word, yes.
Here's the waiter now.
Will monsieur place his offer?
Ah, yes, garçon. I think we'll have some of that to start with. You see, some of that. But just lightly grilled, of course.
That, monsieur?
Yes.
Oh, no. That is the name of our cabaret star.
Yes, of course. Now, what I meant was, beans on toast with chips all round and a pot of tea for three.
Yes, and make sure you boil the water before you boil the water.
Yes, well, I don't suppose he's ever met high-powered delegates like us before, you know.
I think he was quite impressed. All the other waiters are looking at us with their mouths open.
It does no harm to let them know one's important, Mildred.
What should we do this evening, Mum?
Why don't we go to the theatre or something? There's one next door.
Oh, I'm not sure that's suitable. I believe there's a girl in the show who does a striptease with eight pigeons. And for an encore, the pigeons take their feathers off.
Disgusting business, yeah. What time does it begin?
And so next day, the delegates assemble for the first session of the conference. It's held in the magnificent Palais de Vérité, or Palace of Varieties, which is, of course, situated on the Rue de Remarque. The French don't want any part of Venus either, and have cleverly made sure they won't get any by supplying the chairman, Monsieur Bidet. The chairman must be impartial, so his country is excluded from the bidding. The opening ceremony over, Bidet is flushed with success. He takes his seat.
Gentlemen, as you will see from the sand-embroidered map of Venus, the planet is divided into clearly defined areas. I now call upon the senior United Kingdom delegate to state his country's claims.
Oh, good luck, man.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mr. Chairman, gentlemen, Britain's claims are as follows. I've lost the first page of my speech.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here you are.
Thank you. Yes. Britain's claims are as follows. 3 shirts, 4 hankies, 5 long...
This isn't my speech, you idiot. It's your laundry list or something.
But don't lose it, man. That's important. Wait a minute. This must be your speech. I made it into a dart to throw at the Russians.
No. Give it a minute. My apologies, gentlemen. Britain's claims are extremely modest, so I will be brief and to the point. First, let me say this.
And 3 hours later?
Which brings me to my second point. Now, I know you won't want me to go on at length about this, so I will state it in very few words.
And 2 hours after that?
And that is why I have been as brief as possible. Now, for the moment, I conclude by assuring you that Britain will spare no expense in developing Venus for the benefit of all mankind. Indeed, the government has already set aside £7 towards this. Well, that is Britain's case, gentlemen. I thank you.
Oh, well done, man. Oh, that was a very amusing speech.
It wasn't meant to be amusing, too.
Wasn't it? I had my headphones switched to the Japanese translation.
We shall adjourn for 10 minutes.
Aha, here comes Mildred with the refreshments.
Here we are, lovely cuppers. Tea for you, Mr. Lennox Brown.
Sure.
Beef au lax for Mr. Lamb.
Excuse me, if you please. May I introduce myself? I am Hiram J. Searsucker. I'm the United States delegate here, one of their top diplomats. I was the brains behind Pearl Harbor, you know.
Blimey, we've got a right one here.
Delighted to meet you, Mr. Searsucker. Would you care for a paste sandwich?
Oh, thank you. Well, I came over, Mr. Lennox Brown, because I wanted to congratulate you on your brilliant, dynamic speech just now.
I wouldn't have called it actually brilliant. But, well, perhaps you're right.
Well, take it from me, sir. I know a great statesman when I hear one. It's been a great privilege talking to you.
What an intelligent man.
The Paris conference have debated all week, the secretaries dutifully keeping minutes and the delegates cheerfully wasting hours. And on the final day, our heroes approach their breakfast in cheerful mood.
Morning, Tor.
Morning.
Morning, Mildred.
Morning, sir.
Yes, morning. Now, have you ordered breakfast yet?
Well, no, sir. There seems to be no one about.
Odd way to treat important guests. I know we're earlier than usual, but you think the staff would at least make a gesture?
Oh, one of the waiters made a gesture. Through the glass doors.
Yes. Well, voting day today. We must see that we take home a large share of Venus for Britain.
It's been a hectic trip, hasn't it? Oh, I wish we had more time for sightseeing. Fancy, a whole week in Paris and I haven't been to the Louvre once.
Poor Mr. Lamb. Well, never mind. You got a nice souvenir for your landlady. A vase, isn't it?
Yes, Mildred, but I had an awful time in the shop yesterday trying to explain what I wanted.
Hey, you should have done what I always do. Describe the shape of their hands.
I did, but the manager went and brought me his niece.
Oh, dear, now where is that infernal waiter? We'll have to miss breakfast if he doesn't come soon.
No sign of that American, Mr. Searsucker. Looks as if he's gone to the conference already.
I shouldn't be surprised, you know. He's very on the ball.
He seems to admire you, man.
Oh, yes, yes. During the week, we've established what might be called a diplomatic alliance.
Oh, whatever's that, sir?
I give him some of our sandwiches and he lets me borrow his rubber. Yes, well, that's what diplomacy's all about, you see, Mildred. Oh, yes, bargaining, making deals, personal contact, you see. Yes, I finally got chatting to the chairman last night. Asked my advice before we left.
The chairman asked your advice, man? Mm. What about?
Well, he asked me the time, actually. His watch had stopped, you see. Ah. But it's a start, you see. Yes, one begins to feel one has the chairman's ear.
I say, well, don't you think we'd better get off to the conference? It's nearly 10 o'clock.
Mm? Oh, good Lord, so it is, yes. Well, we'll have to miss breakfast, that's all. Now, you stay here, Mildred, and see they cross it off the bill. Join us at the conference later.
Righty-ho, sir. Well,
we'll have to hurry, one.
Oh, poor Mr. Lamb. He hates working on an empty tummy. I hope it doesn't rumble during the speeches.
Bonjour, mademoiselle.
Oh.
You will be taking your usual crunchy weeks?
Oh, yes, please. But you're a bit retarded this morning, aren't you? I mean, my friend's had to go. It's 10 o'clock.
Oh, no, no, no. No, no, it is only 9 o'clock.
Aye.
On the continent, we are an hour behind your English time.
Oh, I told them we should have altered our watches. I suppose they never noticed not having had an early start before.
Perhaps you would like the French breakfast today, mademoiselle. Do you fancy a roll?
Oh, get off, saucy.
Arriving an hour early, our heroes are surprised to find the conference hall empty except for the chairman, Monsieur Bidet, who, having set his watch by Lennox Brown's last night, is an hour early, too.
It is most strange. I cannot understand why no one is here.
Very odd. It's 10:20.
Yes. Shall we wait for the other delegates, Mr. Chairman? Or...
Certainly not. No. I have an urgent appointment at 11, a matter which cannot be delayed, though she becomes very angry.
No wonder he sleeps through the afternoon, sir.
So, let us waste no more time. I now declare this conference in session. We shall begin at once to vote on the allocation of parts of the planet Venus. First, this northern area, the sea of irresponsibility.
I move that this should be allocated to the United Kingdom.
I second that.
Those against? None. Very well. Allocated to the United Kingdom by 2-0 with 56 abstentions. Second, the vast central plateau known as the Desert of Apathy.
I move that this should be allocated to the United Kingdom.
Thank you, gentlemen. I shall now sum up. The conference, having voted on all sections of Venus, are now irrevocably declared the whole planet to be the property of the United Kingdom.
I can't wait to see Sir Gregory's face when we tell him we've got the lot.
I will.
Pitkin speaking. Ah, hello, Lord Stilton. Yes, I'm expecting Lennox Brown and Lambag any minute. Oh, don't worry, they'll be empty-handed, all right. Ah, this sounds like them now. I'll phone you back when I've heard the whole sorry story. Come. Ah, come in, Lennox Brown, come in, Lamb.
Thank you. Hello,
now then, you two, sit down and relax. I've poured out a couple of brandies for you.
Oh, very kind of you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Well, you need a bit of cheering up, I expect. So, we didn't get any part of Venus,
On the contrary, Sir Gregory.
We've got the lot, sir.
Never mind, you can't win them all. You were up against stiff competition.
But we outsmarted them, we won every vote.
The planet Venus is ours.
Don't take it to heart, lad. What did you say?
Thanks to us, Britain has been allocated the whole planet.
No!
Yes, Sir Gregory.
It isn't true. It can't be. You're joking, aren't you? Tell me it's a joke.
Well, I mean, see for yourself, sir. We've got the charter here.
Yeah! You blundering fools, you hopeless nincompoops. Give me back that brandy. You bungled everything.
You mean Britain doesn't want Venus?
Well, of course we don't. We can't afford it. We haven't the cash.
What? That makes two of us.
Well, don't you see? You were meant to fail. That's why you were chosen. You know perfectly well we rely on you to let us down.
But surely, Sir Gregory, Venus can be used for something.
Yes, a place for sending sack civil servants. Apart from that, the whole planet is worthless. Just let me get my hands on you.
Ah, Sir Gregory, please. No need to be hasty. But throwing that typewriter will hurt it more than us.
Don't bank on it, Lennox Brown.
Oh, excuse me, but are you Sir Pitkin?
Who the devil are you?
I am Hiram J. Searsucker, sir, from the United States of America. Say, that's a pair of smart cookies you got working for you.
What?
They made history. Yes, sir, they sure hogtied the rest of us at that conference. Well, sir, I don't bear any grudges, and I'm here to buy all rights to the planet Venus off you.
You want to buy Venus?
I have a U.S. government checkbook right here, sir. Name your price.
Yes, well, you must realize Venus is a very valuable property, Mr. Searsucker. Very valuable.
But you just said it was worthless, sir.
Oh, sorry, Lamb, was that your foot? Yes, Mr. Searsucker, we have elaborate plans for developing the planet.
50 million?
50, million?
Say, you drive a hard bargain. 100 million?
You're offering us 100 million.
Oh, very well. 200 million? But that's my final offer.
Very well, we accept.
Here's your check, Sir Pitkin. I'll bring in the documents later, sir. Oh, boy, just wait till the president hears this. He'll really flip.
Yes, I dare say he will.
£200 million for the exchequer, sir. Well, perhaps we didn't do so badly after all.
Well, perhaps you didn't.
As we've got all this money, could I have a rise, Sir Gregory? During the last week, I've got rather used to eating.
No, Len, you may not have a rise. How dare you?
I was only asking...
Well, don't have a rise.
In conference, as the men from the ministry were Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Also featured were Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, Garrard Green, and John Graham. The script was written by Edward Taylor and John Graham, and the program was produced by Edward Taylor.